Welcome, everybody, to the Dyslexically Successful podcast. I'm so excited to share the stories of these individuals, their stories of triumph and encouragement and inspiration to move through some really challenging things in their lives, whether it is learning to read or even just graduating from school, getting a job, being able to find their strengths that they have within them to be successful. And absolutely, I want to foster an understanding that their success is not in spite of their dyslexia, but it is because of it. And so I'm so glad to have you listening to these stories today. In today's episode of Dyslexically Successful, we have the honor of speaking with Caden Forche. He is a fifth grader who is also part of the American Ninja Warrior Junior Season 1 and Season 2. And so he has a lot of unique experiences that he would like to share with you and your kids about being a dyslexic learner. So you can find more about Caden on YouTube, on the Chatterbox Ninja channel, Instagram. He also is at Chatterbox Ninja. And on Facebook, you can find him at Caden Forche. So check out the show notes for all of those links. And let's listen to Caden. Welcome to the Dyslexically Successful podcast. And today on the podcast, we are going to be interviewing Caden Forche. I'm so honored to have him on today. He has some really cool things to share with us about what he does. And so welcome, Caden.
Hi.
Why don't we get started by you telling us a little bit about yourself, how old you are, what grade you're in,
okay,
stuff like that.
I'm Caden Forche, the Chatterbox Ninja from the hit TV show American Ninja Warrior Junior. And I have a great family. My sister is only 6 years old, and she can do 19 pull-ups.
Whoa.
My mom is great. She rock climbs, runs, and bikes with me. My dad loves to do ninja with me. And me, I just love to do ninja with all of them. I'm in fifth grade, and my passion is American Ninja Warrior. It's this obstacle course where you run through, like, you swing over water, you balance across balance beams, and you swing through ropes. And it's really fun. Make sure you guys find a passion that if you make sure you guys find a passion that you like, because with my dyslexia, finding a passion really, really, really helped me. Because my passion taught me to work hard, like ninja taught me to work hard at it. So now, and then that's taught me to work hard in school with my dyslexia. So if you guys have ADHD like I do, try to make your passion a sport. But like something active to burn all your extra energy. But if you don't, you just can find something that you love to do. And yeah.
That's great. You've brought up so many things there that you have found to help you yourself overcome some challenges in school. So you mentioned that you're a dyslexic learner. Mm-hmm. When did you learn that you had dyslexia?
I learned that I had dyslexia in second grade. But before second grade, it was really, really hard. Because I was not at the same reading. Like, I was still at Bob Books when other kids were moving on to the Black Lagoon. One of my friends was even reading chapter books, and, like, it was a thick book that he was reading. And I didn't know. I just thought I wasn't smart. But now I know I am smart. I just have dyslexia. So parents of young people who, and the parents think that the young kids have dyslexia, get them tested early so they don't have to think that they're not smart.
That's really important. When you were reading, do you remember what was hard about the reading?
I think I was just messing up my B's and D's a lot. Messing up, like, I just messed up, like, N and M's, like, am instead of and yeah.
So. Right, so if you have to sound out each word, and if each time you come to a new word, you're messing the letters up, then that makes
and
it...
And they just look like a big blob. It, like, the letters danced around on the page. Kind of. Like, one line to the next.
That's really difficult. So then what did you do to help make that better?
Let me think.
A lot of tutoring.
Yeah, a ton of tutoring. A lot of working harder than the other kids. Extra reading. Make sure if you guys have dyslexia, make sure you guys do a lot of extra reading. I know it might not be that fun, but you guys kind of, but like you don't really have a choice, because with dyslexia, if you don't want to feel like not smart, you want to read more.
But you like tutoring.
Yes, I do like tutoring. So make sure that you as long as you pick out a book that you like, you can read for hours. Because it's like you're hopping into that world and all that.
That's, but you made a choice to like tutoring.
Yes, I made a choice to like tutoring. And that was really smart. And just make sure you guys read extra, I guess, than the other kid.
So it like, sounds like...
kid that doesn't have dyslexia.
It sounds like you are really good at setting yourself a goal and reaching that goal, even if it's hard to do.
I don't really set myself a goal. I just read.
You just, or like you have a job that needs to get done, and you, Kaden, you get that job done, even if it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what you're telling yourself during that time when you're doing something hard? Are you telling yourself, keep going, or what's your inside thoughts telling you?
Well, I'm just like, it's, for me, it's like ninja. When I condition, I just have to like, just keep it going. You get a rest today after conditioning. You just got to keep it going. And that's with reading too. Like once you're done reading, you can play. Just keep reading, keep reading, keep reading.
And you want to get better.
And I want to get better at reading. Like I want to get better at ninja.
So that's a really good attitude that you have. So you've acknowledged, you know, that this is hard for you, but you want to get to that end task. You want to get it accomplished. So you keep telling yourself, I'm going to be able to get this done. And you drive yourself to do that. That's so important to have that internal drive. Like your mom couldn't make you do that. You, Kaden, you have to do that for yourself. Would you agree?
Yep.
Because if your mom just said, do this, and you didn't really want to, it wouldn't get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you've got, that internal drive is so important. And then I'm going to use a really big word here. It self-perpetuates itself. So meaning you have that internal drive, you work really hard, you accomplish what you set out to do, and then you feel better about yourself and you want to do it more.
It's passion.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that what you feel like in Ninja? So let's talk about American Ninja Warrior, because that's such a unique thing. Were you the fastest and the best at American Ninja Warrior when you got started?
Oh, no, no. I was like, oh, since with my ADHD, all my movements were weird. Like I crawled kind of weird. I was way behind the other kids and crawling and all that.
That was more dyslexia. But.
Oh, it was more dyslexia, but some ADHD. No ADHD. No ADHD. Okay. No ADHD. But I was like kind of behind the other kids, and I was, all my movements and crawling were weird. And so when I started off, like when I was walking, my on like when I was started jumping, like my jumps were looked kind of weird, and I was jumping wrong. And then I learned to do it better after I took some classes, and then I slowly progressed to get better and better.
You loved it so much that you worked so hard at it, and that's how you got so much better.
Yeah.
So when the teacher is telling you, hopefully they're not saying that you're crawling weird, hopefully they're giving you some like tips, how do you feel when they say you need to work on this?
I feel fine. I just ask for more help on what I need. Like if I need clarification on what I need to work on, then I'll ask for what do you mean by I need to work on this or any stuff. And like I'll ask for help and all that. So I just, you have to advocate for yourself in school and just in your passion if you're like doing a sport or something. Because in school, if you're not getting like long division, which I did not get, you want to advocate for yourself, because you want to learn, you want to advocate for your, like you, if you're not getting the help you need, you have to go up to the teacher and say, hey, I'm not getting the help I need. I need more help and all that.
And can you, it sounds like you just did that not too long ago. Can you tell us how that went when you went to your teacher and you said to her, him, I need more help?
Oh, it went fine. I mean, they asked me, what do you need more help with? And I just said, long division. And she said, well, okay, I'll try to make, and then you can just sit back here and work on it. And it always helps to sit at the teacher's table where it's like quiet and all that.
Okay.
And she'll help and all that. So
it's great. Nice. Well, that's wonderful that you are able to speak up for yourself and get the help that you need. Would you have any advice for other kids out there on how they can, if they're not feeling very comfortable talking with the teacher? Anything that you would say to them?
My advice is, first you want to understand why you're not comfortable talking to the teacher. Then you want to ask yourself, why am I not comfortable talking to the teacher in this way? And okay. Then you can find, and then you just probably, like, what, I don't know. I don't really have advice for that because that's never happened to me. So I don't know.
I think that's a
really appreciate it. The teachers really appreciate it when you speak out, and they love that you are asking for extra help and asking for what you need.
What she said.
Well, that's true. So some kids might feel afraid to talk to their teacher because they don't think that their teacher would want them to reach out to them. But what you have found was the opposite. You have found that as long as you talk to the teacher, that your teacher is wanting to hear that. So I guess I would say to those kids who aren't feeling very comfortable talking to the teacher is, who would you be comfortable talking with? Maybe there's another teacher at school. Maybe it's one of your parents. But do reach out to somebody and ask for the help that you need. So
maybe you want to talk to your teacher with your parents, and maybe that would make you feel better.
Excellent. That's great. So whatever it is, however you're going to feel comfortable talking to somebody to get to the teacher to tell them what you need. That's a really good, some good advice for the students listening to us today. What areas in your life do you think being a dyslexic learner has really helped you?
I think in Ninja, it's taught me to work harder, and in general, it's taught me to work harder at school than and I know I have to work harder in school than the other kids, doesn't mean I'm any different. I mean, I still play wall ball with my friends and the other kids and all that. I'm not any different than the other kids. It's just I have dyslexia, so I have to work harder.
Yeah, and so speaking about that it's a challenge, but you work harder. But because you work harder, what do you think that gives you, or how does that help you?
It helps me because say that question again.
So you have dyslexia and you have to work harder, and that's great. You work harder at Ninja, you work harder at school. Yes. And then do you think that there's something that's really cool about, like, here, I'll give you an example. For me, I agree with everything that you're saying. And because I have to work so hard at all these things, I end up thinking about it from many different ways. So I don't look at the problem like I have to find a solution to the problem using some other way. And so that helps me think outside the box. That would be my example. How about you?
What you said.
Do you feel the same way?
So, but dyslexia is a superpower though, because it's not like one of the regular superpowers where like Spider-Man has sticky hands and like Batman can fly and all that. It's a better superpower. It's the superpower where you get to see the world in a different way, where regular kids, well, no, not regular kids, because we're regular kids too, just other kids can't see that.
Like, so when you're doing Ninja, it helps you solve an obstacle in a different way.
Yeah, like when I'm doing Ninja, it like helps me think outside the box and like what's the best way to do this obstacle.
And you're used to working hard.
I'm used to working hard in school, and so I work hard in Ninja. So yeah, and
So you're gonna work hard until you get that obstacle.
Yeah,
and try different things.
Yeah. Like the 14-foot warp wall.
Yeah, tell us about that. The 14-foot, what happened with that?
So yesterday we went to the Ninja Gym and I got the 14-foot warp wall for the first time. I worked really hard to get it. It took me like 25,000 tries to get it. That's an exaggeration, but you know.
I know.
I worked really, really hard to get it, even though it's not the most fun obstacle that I'd rather be working on. I still really wanted to get it, and I just worked really hard and I got it.
Congratulations. That's a great accomplishment. So I know myself, personally speaking, when I can't do something the first time or the second time, that can kind of make me feel bad. How do you deal with those feelings when you're frustrated with yourself or not quite getting it?
Well, if dyslexic kids are frustrated with I think you just have to have determination, determination. And if you're like really into the thing you're doing, you can just keep working hard at it and have determination.
Cool. That's such a really good insight for a fifth grader. So that's like probably one of the biggest advantages for you, Kaden, is that you have that determination. Another word for that my mother taught me when I was little is called gumption. So that stick-to-itiveness, that you keep going even though it's really hard. And that is often found in children who are dyslexic because of what you said, because we're so used to working hard that when something comes up that's hard, we don't know any better. Everything is difficult for us and we keep going. So, and for you, it's been wonderful that your accomplishments. So let's go back just briefly here about all the things that you've accomplished in American Ninja Warrior. Tell me about those.
Well, my accomplishments in American Ninja Warrior Oh, again, let's go back to the 14-foot work wall really fast.
Yeah.
I had to have a growth mindset to get that. And a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset is where, like in reading, if you can't read like said, let's say, you're like, or spell said, you can't, you're like, this is too hard. I can't spell it now. I'll never be able to spell it. But then a growth mindset would be, well, I can't spell said yet, but I will in maybe like in another two tries. Maybe.
You're going to keep working hard.
Yeah, I'll keep working hard at it.
And I'll absolutely get it. That's a wonderful idea to keep in your head, that you can't do it yet. The power of yet.
Yet is a key word. Yet.
It is. It is. And you really have espoused that idea. You've really taken that in and understanding that. So I agree with you, and we'll definitely make sure that the kids out there hear that message, that growth mindset. So because you have that growth mindset, because you have that determination and you really love Ninja, there you've had some really great accomplishments. Go ahead and tell us what you've accomplished with Ninja.
Well, another thing I accomplished for Ninja is just a parkour rule was really hard for me, because it was really hard for me to tell, like, if a coach said, roll over your right shoulder and then roll over your left shoulder. It was like, because you were doing a certain move where you had to roll over one shoulder. It was really hard for me to tell. But now I started to have a band hand and non-band hand. A band hand is right and a non-band hand is left. But basically when you're just going fast on a ninja course, you just yell out, band hand. I feel the band on my hand and then I just reach with my band hand. Non-band hand, then go, and then non-band hand leg, and run with the leg and all that.
Okay, so those are some strategies that you and your mom and your coaches have figured out to help you be successful.
I suggest to other dyslexic kids that they like do band hand or non-band hand or like something to help them tell their left from their right. Because that was a big struggle to me.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And it sounds like the strategy you guys have thought of worked. And again, thinking outside the box, how can we really help Caden? How can you help yourself be successful? So that, I love that strategy. So we'll just wrap it up here, because I know you've got to go to practice, huh?
Yeah.
And for those of you who are watching on the video, you can see in the background that they've got some large apparatuses there in their house. And if you're listening on the podcast, they pretty much have a Ninja Warrior gym set up in the house. Do you want to talk about what you guys have made there?
Yeah. So we've made a bunch of obstacles. Santa's brought some obstacles for us. Like, most of the upstairs is the is from Santa.
Parkour gym.
Like,
so what obstacles do we have?
Yeah, so this are the best furniture ever. The vault is our favorite furniture. It's great. It was made by my grandpa, a carpenter. And then we bought this pull-up bar. Quintuple step. So what you see on the show, what you used to see on the show before this season and maybe last season, but it's where you jump from one of these to the next.
Uh huh.
And ground rails.
Ground rails
over here. King.
It's where it's really hard. Right here is a ground rail. It's they're like little. They're it's like a railing, like a round railing, and you just walk on them. That's why it's called ground rail.
Right.
And you just walk on them. And then a rolling log back here, I'll grab it. It's where you can do, like, tricks on it, walk across it.
So then tell her about our basement. Our basement's a rock climbing gym.
Yep, our basement is a rock climbing gym because we love to rock climb. Yeah. And we have, like, the flying bar down there. We also have the like rock, like this big rock wall that we started out with. But once they realized that I was so into ninja, we just started adding from there. Yes. So now we have like a bar, a zip line, a ninja line,
and now you're building obstacles with them.
Yeah, now I'm building obstacles with them. So upstairs we have a we have ninja holds down and back. So we built like a long ninja thing up in the upstairs hallway because we ran out of space everywhere else. Okay. So we just went upstairs and we built like an upstairs hallway where you just go in and out of your room just doing the ninja holds, which is really fun.
Wow, you have, your passion has turned into your family's passion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have an amazing
motivation.
Yeah, that's great to support you and to stretch you to the next level. So what is the next level for you? We'll end with that question. What's your next objective with Ninja?
So tell them that you've been on American Ninja Warrior.
I've been on American Ninja Warrior Junior and season one and two. Season one and two, and season one. And if you want, season two hasn't came out yet, but season one has. If you're still kind of wondering what Ninja is, you can go to search up season one, episode two of American Ninja Warrior Junior, and then you'll find me racing. And yeah.
I've watched that, and you did a phenomenal job, and it was a perfect example of how you were a little bit behind that other guy, and then you just kept going, and then you went past him.
Never give up.
It was a wonderful example of that, Kaden. It was so exciting for you. I was cheering for you the whole time. So obviously that you had already done it, but it was really great to see you do that and to show off your skills that way. Well, we will look forward to watching season two, and I wish you the best of luck with everything. I definitely want to talk with you again after some time has passed here to see what other challenges you have overcome and worked hard to achieve.
Sounds great. I love doing these things.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day, and thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Today's quick tip. In today's episode, Kaden talks a lot about the growth mindset, and this is something that hopefully your school is talking about just in general for all children, because the power of yet is so important. It is really important to have a flexible mindset about things that you might not be able to accomplish right now, whether that's with reading or any sort of academic things, or even in sports. Kids can get really frustrated and down on themselves when they can't do something easily the first time, especially younger children, because they don't really have the experience to say that, yes, if I keep working at this, it's going to get better. So what we can do as parents is, one, definitely lead by example. If we are in a situation that we make a mistake or it doesn't go well the first time, Let our children know that we made that mistake. Let our children know that we had to do it again, whether it's something at work or a task that you forgot to do at home or that was hard for you to do. Just make it a point to share with your kids that you too go through these struggles. And then for them, whether it's with the child themselves or a sibling, if somebody can't do something correctly the first time, and it's not easy for them, showing them that it will get better, or drawing on a past experience that maybe they don't remember to say, look,
you couldn't do X, Y, or Z before, but then you practiced. An easy one is walking. And obviously the children don't have a recollection of walking, but you can definitely say that at first when he started standing up, you could barely stand up, and then you kept practicing and we kept doing these things. And then one day you just let go and started walking, or whatever the story is, because probably you have a lot of pictures, maybe even have some videos that you can show them to give them some tangible evidence that yes, there was something that once they couldn't do, but now that they can, and now they do it easily. So that can really help with that growth mindset, especially for a child who is really down on themselves or is having a hard time understanding that growth mindset is within them. Caden is a great example of somebody who understands it, and even if he has a challenge, he's got some great aspirations and some great motivators behind him. And that's the other thing too, letting our kids work with their passions, and even if that is something like video games, how can we structure that so that the child is motivated and can accomplish more and can stretch to the next level, incorporating whatever activity they are passionate about, even if it's not your passion. So that's our growth mindset dyslexic tip of the day. Thanks so much.